You may take your seat. It's good to be back. It's always a privilege and an honor to be the instrument that God wants to use to bless mighty men and women of God like you. Hallelujah. You know, this morning upstairs when we were having the prayer meeting, a word came that God wanted to take us to a new level. He wants to take us to a new level. But the question was, are we prepared for what God is about to do? Because sometimes God will not let you step into your promise until you are ready. He will not put you in a place where you are not ready for. And I believe this morning the word God put in my heart is for somebody who has come to a place or a point in your life where you think you need to be beyond where you are right now, but somehow you feel stuck. You feel stuck and you don't know how to go beyond where you are. And I strongly believe that. Oh, Kamal said he feels the glory of God here this morning. And I've been feeling that the whole time. And anywhere the presence and the glory of God is, so much happens. So much happens. And I know we need to come to a point where we know that there is nothing God cannot do. There's no situation he cannot change. There's nothing he cannot turn around. And so if you find yourself in a place where things are not going the way it should be going, you probably should say, Lord, what are you trying to teach me in this season? Because so many times we get to a place where if things are not going the way it should go, we want reasons for why things are like that. And I believe God today wants to encourage someone, to tell, let somebody know that, look, I'm ready to take you beyond this point. I'm ready to let you step into your new season. But you need to say, Lord, what is my part that I need to play in this new season? If you've got your Bible, shall we go to the book of Exodus, please? Don't worry, I'm not going to share what Auntie Ruth shared. Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14 from verse 29. It says this. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day, the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and Moses, his servant. How many people here this morning, genuinely this morning, know that the hand of God upon your life is bigger and stronger than the enemies following you? I mean, you say that, but sometimes the way you act doesn't even show it. Sometimes when you see people praying so much, so aggressively, it's not because they are praying out of fear. It's because they're out of faith. It's because they are praying out of fear. We need to really come to the point where we know that God can do what he says he can. There are certain situations that you encounter that aggressive prayer has its place. But at certain times, there are things that you just have to command and ask them to leave. Look, when I was growing up as a child, there are times that my mom would just an instruction just to sit down. She would probably repeat it like 10 times because I was that stubborn. I wouldn't listen to her. She repeated and repeated and repeated until I feel like she said enough. Then I would sit down. But when my dad, it comes to my dad, he doesn't even have to talk. He doesn't even have to talk. I know what to do. The point that I'm trying to make is you need to come to a point where the devil, you don't even need to talk. There were times that when Jesus, the minute Jesus stepped out of the boat, the demons knew that there's somebody who's here with authority. And they run away. You need to come to the point where you situation, certain situations in your life, you need to command and speak to that situation to go. Aggressive prayer has its place. But also you need to understand the authority and the power back in you to just speak to your situation. You know, when I first read this scripture, Exodus 14 from 29 to 31, I used to think the victory in this story was because God killed Pharaoh and his army. That's what I used to think. I used to read it, and like most of you, you know this story. I used to think the victory or the triumph in this story was because God killed Pharaoh and his men. That's what I used to think. But don't get me wrong, that in itself is a miracle. But then watch this in verse 31. It says this. It says, and when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him. And Moses is seven. This is the first time I'm seeing this, that the people feared God and put their trust in him. Because all the time until now, it was constant moaning and complaining. God, why have you brought us here? Lord, this, Lord, that. They were constantly moaning and complaining. But for the first time here, you see that it says that, and the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord, and they put their trust in him. For me, the breakthrough and the triumph here wasn't because God killed Pharaoh and his men, but it's because God took these guys to a new level of trust and understanding in him that wasn't there before. That for me was the breakthrough. Now listen, you realize that after they crossed the Red Sea, they had to fight many battles and many wars. And so many times they made reference to this particular incident where God parted the Red Sea for them to go through. Because God knows that sometimes you cannot step into your promise unless you go through a certain process. And he will not let you step into your promise unless he's prepared you for where he's taking you. These guys were not prepared until they got to this point where they stepped into a new level of faith and understanding of who God is before they stepped into. Because you realize they fought giants. They fought so many things. But if you don't have that trust in God, you get to a point where you get discouraged. They kept going in the desert. They kept going around in circles and in circles and in circles. They take 2 steps forward and they take 10 steps back. 10 steps back. 2 steps forward and then 10 steps back. Why? Because they were constantly, these guys here didn't even know who God was. They knew his works, but they didn't really know who he was. And sometimes lessons in life will be repeated until they are learned. Until these guys learned their lesson, they were still where they were. You know, every place where you are right now, no matter who you are, no matter where you are, I want you to understand that God has a purpose and a plan for your life. He has a plan, no matter how you feel, no matter how bad your situation is. Even if through your foolishness, you got yourself somewhere that you were not supposed to, God in his mercy can turn things around because his purposes for your life are bigger than your mistakes. So he can always turn things around. You know, in Psalm 18, Psalm 18, verse 30. Listen to it. It says, as for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. I love the scripture. It says, as for God, as for him, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. His way is perfect. His way is perfect. Sometimes he may not do things when you expect that he will do it. But his way is perfect. He says in his time, he makes all things beautiful. See, and as I read this scripture, I saw 3 things. 1, the perfection of his ways, the purity of his word, and the security that comes in trusting him. Perfection of his ways, purity of his word, and the security that comes in trusting him. Now, perfection of his word. Sometimes I look at myself and I say, God, what is perfect about this? I mean, I've met people who have been angry with God because they felt God didn't do what he said he would do in their lives. I say, God, what is perfect about this? What is perfect about a mother who dies when he's just had a baby? Something doesn't make sense to us. I mean, look at the way Jesus was born. What is perfect about it? Nothing. But God always has the mind, the end in mind. But sometimes you go through situations, you look at yourself and you say, Lord, what is perfect about what I'm going through? What? What is perfect about it? Nothing. Nothing is perfect about this. But the Bible says there is a way that seems right to a man. But it's only at the end that they find out that that way is the way of death or destruction. His way is perfect. His way is perfect. I remember once Mary and Martha, when Lazarus fell ill, they went to Jesus and said, Jesus, Lazarus is ill. Can you come? And Jesus said, look, this is not unto death. The guy will live. Eventually, he turns up. And when he turns up, what's happened? Lazarus was dead. And this is what Mary said. He said, Lord, if you had come when we asked you to come, this guy would have lived. In other words, if you had done it my way, Lazarus would have lived. And Jesus said, look, I assure you that this guy will live again. Maybe in the realm of the natural, it seems as though everything is lost. But no. In the realm of the spirit, I'm working behind the scenes that you don't even know about. And then some of the Jews said, look, could he, who opened blind eyes, not save this man from dying? Then Jesus commanded Lazarus, and Lazarus woke up. But sometimes we want reasons for why we are going through what we are going through. And that day, they wanted a reason why Jesus didn't come on time. But you know, that day, Jesus did not give them a reason. You know what he gave them? He gave them a revelation of who he was or who he is. Because up until then, they had known him as a healer. They didn't know that he could resurrect. He says, I am the resurrection and I am the life. He is. Resurrection is not something he did. He is the resurrection himself. Every single thing that he touches comes back to life. That day, he gave them a revelation of who he is. And sometimes you find yourself going through certain things you don't understand. It's because maybe God wants to give you a revelation in what you are going through. We want reasons for everything. Why this? Why that? Why? It shouldn't be the case. You say, Lord, what do you want me to learn from what I am going through right now? Because otherwise you find yourself in the same place over and over and again, going around in circles and in circles and in circles. And say, Lord, what is happening? I need to progress. Because sometimes a lack of progression can lead to fear, can lead to disappointment, can lead to depression, can lead to so many things. And then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see my glory? I will do what I say I will do. And that takes me to the second point, the purity of his word. He says, I will do what I say I will do. It doesn't matter what you see right now in the realm of the natural. If I say I will do something, the Bible says he watches over his word to perform it. He watches over it to perform it. And so sometimes you'll be going through certain things that doesn't make sense to you. And God is saying, I know what I'm doing. I'm preparing you. I'm taking you through a process for the next stage that I want to take you to. Because I can't let you step into a promise that I haven't prepared you for. You will end up messing up. Messing up. There's this man of God that I know. Every single time he sees me, oh, Godfrey, I see God using you. I see God taking you to places. Every single time he says that to me. One day I saw him, I said, here he comes again. Same thing, different day. But it was almost as if God heard what he said. He said, Godfrey, you know why God hasn't taken you to where he says he'll take you? He told me, you're not mature enough. He said, if he takes you there, you mess up. Just like he heard what I was saying. But it's so true. Sometimes God will restrain you from stepping into certain areas because you are not prepared enough to step. You need to ask him, Lord, what do I need to learn in this season before I step into the promise that you've called me to step into? That is what he does. That is what he does. So he's got a plan and a purpose for your life. There is none. If you come to the point of understanding that there is nothing he cannot do, then you say, Lord, then why is it that I'm still where I am instead of going further than where I am? It's because maybe there is something that you need to know that you don't know yet. Purity of his word. Purity of his word. You see, so many times we tend to mix up his ways and his works. His ways and his works. You've got to understand that if you don't know God's ways, sometimes you may not even know his will for your life. Once you know his ways, you can know what his will is for your life. The Israelites knew, they knew his works, but they didn't know his ways. And the difference between the works of God and the ways of God is almost like infatuation and real love. There's so many times you see people, and I'm not trying to laugh. You see people, they hear there's a man of God here. What did they do? They are there. There's a man of God there. They are there. There's a man of God here. They're everywhere. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying it's wrong. But when you become too preoccupied with his works instead of his ways, you miss something. You become infatuated. So you've got his works, but inside you are hollow. There is nothing in there. You can't live on prophecy the rest of your life. You can't. You become so hollow inside. But when you know his ways, it doesn't matter what you go through. You are so full of his word that you stand firm on that solid foundation that he has. That's the difference. His ways and his works.
So whose way is it going to be? God's way or your way? Whose way? Whose way is it going to be? Whose way is it going to be? God's way or your way? Purity of his word. I remember once an angel appeared to Paul and said, look, you will get to Rome safely with all 276 prisoners. You will get to Rome safely. And guess what happened? Did he get to Rome safely? No, he ended up where? In Malta. Ended up in Malta, a small island, Malta. That's a far cry from Rome, where God said he would be. And everybody on the ship started complaining. Paul didn't. The Bible says they came out of the ship, and then he started making some fire with some sticks, and suddenly a viper came out of the sticks and coiled around his wrist. And then the inhabitants of the island started saying, ah, look at him. He escaped death, and now death is caught up with him. You know what Paul did? He shook off the snake just like that into the fire. Sometimes you get to a place when things are not going the way people think it should go. They start talking about you. Look at him. Look at him. Look what he did. He's called himself a man of God. Look at where he is. But I like what Paul did. He just shook you off. And sometimes when people gossip, you just shake you off. Because they don't know how far God has brought you. And they don't know how far God is taking you. When they do, just shake it off. And just keep your attention on where God wants you to go. And you know what happened? The minute he shook you off, suddenly they said, wow, he really is a man of God. He really is a man of God. And in the end, you know what? Paul made it to Rome. Not only that, before they set off from the island, you know what? The people of the island gave them provisions for the journey ahead, which they didn't even have before. And sometimes when God takes you to a place where you think you're not supposed to be, maybe because he's preparing you for the road ahead, he's equipping you for where you want to be. And Paul, throughout all this, he didn't even flinch because he knew about the purity of the word. If God says, I will be where he wants me to be, no matter what happens, even if I get stranded in an island, he will make a way for me where there is no way. The purity of God's word. The Bible says he watches over his word to perform it. He watches over his word to perform it. And then the last point, the security that comes with trusting God. You realize that throughout all the time, Paul had so much security within because of the trust he had in God. But the thing is, you can't trust somebody whose ways you don't know. You can't trust somebody whose way you don't know. And that's why it's so important to spend time with him. Because anything that has not been tested cannot be trusted. So once you test him, you spend time with him, you know that there's no way this God can fail me. No matter what happens, I've got so much trust and confidence in him. Look, I don't know where you are right now, but I feel God sent me here this morning to bring encouragement to somebody. That maybe you are somewhere right now where you feel, you know what, I've been circling around for too long. It's time to step into the promise that God has called me to step. I don't know where you are, but I know this, that the same hand that delivered them can deliver you. The same hand that parted the sea can part the ways for you. He can. He can. He can. Sometimes we give the devil too much credit. It makes God so small. So small. Whose way is it going to be? Whose way is it going to be? Your way or Yahweh? God's way. Whose way is it going to be? There is a way that seems right to us. No, I want it this way. Lord, I want it this way. Lord, are you sure this is the right way? I want it this way. No, no. It's just like the prodigal son. He wanted his own way. He says, Father, give me my share of the inheritance. And his father gave him, and he went. He went his way. What happened? Did he not come back? He came back. But at what cost? At what cost? At what cost? You can sell yourself so much heartache and so much trouble if you only lay down your life and say, Lord, have your way. There are some things it would never, ever make sense to you because you're not like God. You do not see the complete picture. It's only God who has the complete picture in mind. He knows the beginning from the end or the end from the beginning. We don't. We only see one step at a time. Only one step at a time. And sometimes things happen, you say, God, why is this happening to me? What did I get it wrong? Lord, why? But he knows what he's doing. He knows. Absolutely knows. Because there's nothing he cannot handle if we come to the realization of that. I really believe God wants to take us to a new level. We've been in the desert for far too long. Far too long. He really wants to take you to a new level. And for everyone here, it will be different. For some people, it could be your ministry. For some people, it could be your jobs. For some, it could be your relationships. It's different for everybody. But I guarantee you, I know without a shadow of doubt, that he wants to take you to a new level. A level that you've not seen before. He wants to stretch you. I think we are too comfortable where we are. And anywhere there's comfort, there's no growth. Anything that challenges you, anything that doesn't challenge you, rather, will not stretch you. He wants to take us to a new level. But the question is, are you ready? That day in Exodus chapter 14, verse 30, he took the Israelites to a new level, to a place that they had never seen before. I mean, you think about it. You think God had to bring Pharaoh and his men all the way to the Red Sea to kill them? No, he could have done that way back in Egypt. Did he not send 10 plagues? He could have easily killed them there, but he didn't. He brought them to the edge of the sea because he wanted to prove a point. He wanted to take them to a new level, a new place of fear, of reverence, a new level that will build them for the journey ahead. Will you be on your feet? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I feel the presence of God here mightily. It's true. Whose way is it going to be? Whose way is it going to be? Whose way is it going to be? Once when the two prisoners in Joseph's time had a dream, Joseph went to them and said, "What's this worried look on your face?" And they said, "We had a dream, but we don't understand." And Joseph said, "But that's not interpretation, comes from God. Tell me what your problem is and I'll give you the interpretation." When you're going through issues, don't try and explain yourself. Go to God and say, "God, give me the interpretation of what I'm going through right now." Because unless you have the right interpretation of what you're going through, you take the wrong steps. Jesus. Father, I pray and I lift your children before you this morning. Lift them up before you, God. Father, I pray that may their lives never be the same again. Holy Spirit, you tear up something in them that would cause them to refuse to be where they are. Rattle feathers, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray that every obstacle standing in the way, oh God, of the breakthrough of your children, Lord, we call that removed this morning in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, and I give you all the glory, Father, even for the work that you've started in your children. In Jesus' name, amen.